We've been thinking about Lucy.
Wait!
And how she's not very happy that her phone is on its way to Preston without her. And with it, 86 selfies, 4 cat videos, that guy's phone number, and her banking app. But at least she isn't worried about someone stealing her money. That's because at NatWest, we've already thought about the left phone on the train scenario. It's why we never store your bank details on your mobile. NatWest, we are what we do.
App available to customers with online banking and a UK number.
Wednesday, June 28, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and we like to present the top sports stories, but with a dose of common sense. And it seems like that's desperately missing these days. You know, we get inundated with sports takes that half the time, they don't even make any sense. We like to look at how sports actually work, how the coaches and players actually think, and maybe hopefully we can make you laugh a couple times along the way. There are a couple of ways that you can keep up with or contact the Daily Dose, and we would love to hear from you. You can, of course, go check out new articles. You can go get a link to the podcast every single week if you go to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. In fact, this week, I'm not sure if you realize it, but a new basketball league started this week, and it had a few surprises in it. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check out an article that we were able to break some news on. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, maybe you need some advice about a number of different subjects, really about anything, hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also find us over on Twitter or Facebook, and you can message us right there too. That handle is @DailyDoseSports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, of course, the NBA draft is now complete, and we are going to take a look back at some of the winners and losers from the NBA draft. Who did your favorite team take? Take a player that's going to last? Did they trade away your pick? Did they get anything worthwhile out of the draft? We will give you a few winners and losers from the 2017 NBA draft. We've also got some NFL and college football news that we want to make sure that we discuss briefly. Plus, we will be handing out our season-end NBA awards as only the Daily Dose can do. And this week, we do have a return of the Daily Dose Top 5. Had a few weeks off as we sat down with Colorado high school basketball coach Russ McKinstry. If you didn't hear the interview with Russ McKinstry, I am telling you, go back and check out episodes 133 and 134. You will not be disappointed. Russ McKinstry came on, talked basketball, talked coaching, talked youth sports. We discussed a number of different topics with Russ, but he just did a phenomenal job. I would encourage you, go back and check out those episodes. I think you will enjoy them. You know, before we get to the winners and losers of the draft, you know, we pride ourselves here at the Daily Dose on being a common sense sports show. So we're going to have to discuss the college football story that came out this last week. I don't know if you saw this. Freshman Nebraska wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson Jr. was in the news last week. Of course, he is the son of former USC and NFL player Keyshawn Johnson Sr. Now, Jr. was a 4-star recruit from Calabasas High School in California. He chose Nebraska over a number of top schools, USC, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and that was just last year that he made his selection to go to Nebraska. Well, it seems that Junior got cited for marijuana possession last week after police found 4.5 grams of weed along with like some other drug paraphernalia, whatever that is, I don't know. A college kid getting popped for weed?
What?
I know, shocking. Yeah, big deal, right? At a place like Nebraska? I mean, come on, honestly, who cares? You can beat a woman nearly to death at Nebraska, and you'll still start in the national championship game. Oh. Right? Isn't that how that goes? I mean, Junior's not going to miss a snap, is he? He's a stud football player. I mean, maybe an average student at Nebraska might get put on some sort of probation. Maybe they would lose their academic scholarship. This is football. This is football at Nebraska. Big-time football players at Nebraska, like Lawrence Phillips, or big-time football players just in general, like Aaron Hernandez or Johnny Manziel, they get a citation. I don't know, maybe they have to run an extra wind sprint. They're not getting anything else. They're not getting any punishment. Well, here's the problem. Lawrence Phillips and Aaron Hernandez and Johnny Manziel, yeah, they don't have Keyshawn Johnson Sr., as a father, because if they did, their stories might be a little bit different than how they ended up. See, when Keyshawn Sr. found out that Junior got the citation, he didn't make any excuses for it. He didn't argue that weed should be legalized. It's not in Nebraska. He didn't picket the Omaha City offices or anything. He didn't threaten to sue police. None of those things. None of that. Keyshawn Sr. pulled his son off the football team and announced that Junior will be taking a leave of absence and that he's hoping maybe he can return, I don't know, maybe in January. Here is Senior's statement from the Omaha World Herald. You're in college now. You're an adult. You're not a kid anymore. One thing you will not do as my son is you will not embarrass Nebraska. You will not embarrass head coach Mike Riley, and you will not embarrass this family. If you mature and you're ready to resume your football career and academic goals, then Nebraska will be ready to embrace you. Now we can sit and we can argue about maybe Keyshawn Sr. He's too hard on his kid. We can sit here and say, well, hey, boys will be boys. College kids will be college kids. That's just, you know, it's a minor thing. It's a minor issue. I mean, it's just a weed citation. Who cares?
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
We can make whatever excuses that we want to throw out there. Bottom line is this. Keyshawn Johnson Sr. has certain expectations for his son. And he is holding him accountable for meeting those expectations. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and assume that Junior is currently in the process of learning a very valuable lesson. It might cost him a season of football. That's not the worst thing that could ever happen to him, is it? If he loses a season of football, life still goes on. But I'm betting this. I'm betting that Junior learns a little bit from this experience. And I'm also betting that he probably becomes a little bit better man down the road. Hey, Dad set a certain expectation. You didn't meet it. Dad's holding you accountable. That is a life lesson. You might not like it. Sure, there's a number of people out there saying, well, that's not how I do with my kid. Okay. Well, this is what Keyshawn is doing. Keyshawn is teaching some lessons. And that is what college is supposed to be about, right? Learning things that prepare us for life. You know, there's a lot of athletes, past and present, that would have benefited greatly from a father like Keyshawn Johnson holding them accountable. And as a result, we've got to give him a little bit of applause. I know. There we go. There goes the Daily Dose being all conservative and crazy. Hey, he made a rule for his kid. You better follow it or else. Okay, let's get to the NBA draft winners and losers. Of course, the 2017 NBA draft took place on Thursday night in Brooklyn. Honestly, kind of a boring draft. Most everyone stuck to the script. There weren't really that many surprises. And the most excitement that we really saw were a few trades of some veteran players. The building was half empty. And I have to think that some of the reason it was a little bit boring is that the names being drafted just aren't big enough names. We have a bunch of one and done 19-year-old kids now that we really don't even know. Markelle Fultz was the top pick of the draft. How many of you have actually seen him play? I've only seen him maybe once or twice, and I watch a lot of college basketball. He played for Washington. So his games are starting at like midnight on the East Coast. And then Washington went like 9-20 something. I don't know. So you didn't see him in the tournament. That's what we have these days. But there were still some interesting moves that took place in the draft. So we have our way too early winners and losers from the 2017 NBA draft. I'm going to give a winner to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Remember when the Timberwolves got Tom Thibodeau to be their new head coach? This is going to be perfect. This is a young, talented team, but they need structure. They need to learn how to play defense. And Thibodeau is a hard-nosed, old-school coach. You know, if you don't know his background, he had to grind his way through like D-League seasons and pound his way through some of those awful teams and awful venues and all that coming up through some of the minor leagues of the NBA. But when he got to Minnesota, honestly, it didn't really work. Well, Minnesota on Thursday made the trade to get Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, the guy that Tom Thibodeau helped create in Chicago when he drafted him as pretty much like an unknown player out of Marquette. Now, Thibodeau's going to get a veteran leader that can reinforce what he's been trying to teach, that can reinforce what he's been saying. No, guys, this works. I'm telling you, this works. It feels like a perfect match. It gives Minnesota a leader that they needed. It allows some of those young players, Karl-Anthony Towns, it allows players like Andrew Wiggins to defer to Jimmy Butler. Hey, you take the last shot. You make the last stop. We don't have to do all this. These young guys don't know how to do that. They need a veteran to teach them how to do those things. Minnesota, I think definitely big winner in Thursday night's draft. Not sure about the draft picks, but that trade for Jimmy Butler, that's huge. I'm going to give a loser to the Chicago Bulls because Minnesota didn't really have to give them much to get Jimmy Butler. Here's what Minnesota gave them. They gave them first-year point guard Chris Dunn, who had been very disappointing so far, plus an injured Zach LaVine. Now, LaVine is a very talented player, but he's coming back from a knee injury. So we're not exactly sure what they're going to get. And then Chicago got the number 7 pick, which turned out to be Lauri Markkanen, for a perennial all-star. That's all you gave? That's the best offer you got? I mean, Chicago, I don't know. That kind of makes me think we don't know the whole story. I don't know if Jimmy Butler was telling Chicago, I'm not playing for you, you better trade me or something. Because it's kind of weird. That's a fleecing is what that is. Think about this for 1 second. The Chicago Bulls just gave away Jimmy Butler. They didn't get much in return. And just like a month or so ago, the Chicago Bears traded 3 picks to move up 1 single spot in the NFL draft to draft Mitchell Trubisky. 3 picks for a maybe quarterback? I don't know if Chicago can be called like Chi-Town anymore. It needs to be like Chump Town from now on. Because they lost for sure in the draft on Thursday night. Going to give a winner to the Golden State Warriors. You know, the Golden State Warriors have the NBA just spinning right now. Everyone is scrambling, trying to figure out how they can possibly keep up with Golden State. What do we do? They're so good. We don't have as good of players as they have. What do we do? Like, teams are just smashing the panic button because the Warriors are just loaded. Then, in the draft, they actually went and got a tiny bit better. We'll see how much better, but a tiny bit better because they drafted Oregon big man Jordan Bell. Now, if you're not familiar with Jordan Bell, think about this. Think about the Golden State Warriors and what they might need to be a little bit better. Think about that for a second. Got that picture in your mind? Okay. Let me give you a brief description of Jordan Bell. 6'9", senior athlete. So he's not just a young kid that's not figured things out. He's a senior. Got a little bit of experience. A little bit older. Maybe a little bit wiser. That might have been the best defender in college basketball. He's a solid rebounder, and he is a big-time rim defender and shot blocker. He averaged 3 blocks per game. And since the Warriors took him in the second round, they can pay him with like the change they find in their couch cushions. So yes, the rich got a little bit richer in the NBA draft. Oh, and you might be wondering how the Warriors even got the pick, because if you'll remember, Golden State wasn't scheduled to have a pick in the draft because they had traded out of the draft completely. They paid $3.5 million for the pick. Who would possibly be dumb enough to sell a pick like this when there's still talent available in the draft?
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. Who else could it be? I'm going to give a loser to the Cleveland Cavaliers. No, they didn't even have a pick in the draft. And they just won a title last year, right? They've gone to the finals now 3 years in a row. It is a golden era for the Cavaliers, no matter whatever happens. They'll always look back at this and say, man, remember those 3 years that we had? Remember the 3 years when we were going to the finals every single year? Here's one thing to think about. It might all go away very, very quickly. See, the Cavs had the highest payroll in the NBA this past season. Now they have fired their general manager, David Griffin, and they are in full panic mode after being dismantled by the Golden State Warriors. No one likes their owner, Dan Gilbert, including LeBron James, and that's a bit of a problem. They are now talking to Chauncey Billups about the GM job, and I've heard that he doesn't want it. He lives in Denver. He's got a daughter that I believe is about to be a senior in high school. She doesn't want to leave. Mom's very happy here, his wife. So he's not looking to move to Cleveland. I don't know that anyone's ever looking to move to Cleveland, but side note. Remember, though, that the Cavs gave Tristan Thompson, Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith, and Channing Frye way too much money. And the only guy that they really could use in some sort of a trade scheme would be Kevin Love, aside from like LeBron James. They're not going to do that. Next summer, LeBron becomes a free agent again. If they don't win at all this next season, I mean, he's leaving, right? He's going to leave again. We're going to have the decision part two. I don't know if he's going to Miami, though. I think he'll try to see if he can get, I don't know, Carmelo or Dwayne Wade or somebody to come join him in Cleveland. And then I think if they don't win it all this next year, I think he's going to L.A. And I don't know if it'll be Lakers or Clippers, but I think he's going to L.A. He's already got a house out there. We already know that. Don't be surprised if LeBron James ends up wearing the purple and gold. I'm going to give a winner to LeVar Ball. Yes, speaking of LA, hate on Lonzo's dad all you want. He called his shot that Lonzo would play for the Lakers, and he was right. The Lakers drafted Lonzo Ball with a second pick, and he should step in right away, be the starter, because LA, before that, traded away D'Angelo Russell to the Nets and dumped some salary by getting rid of Timofey Mozgov with a trade to Brooklyn for Brook Lopez. So that frees up a little bit of money. And, you know, Russell was kind of a mess. They were saying he couldn't learn basic defensive concepts. And, of course, we all know how he broke the Lakers' locker room with his Instagram posts or whatever that mess was. So this should be a nice fit for Ball. Ball should be a starter. He should be a leader. He should be a facilitator. But go, LeVar. And please, whatever you do, LeVar Ball, keep talking to the media. Because I'm watching him during the draft. He's just talking to hear himself. To watch people hang on his every word. What's he going to say next? I don't care. He's just babbling. He's just your drunk uncle at the summer barbecue. It's the same thing. Makes no difference. I'm going to give a loser to Arizona big man Lauri Markkanen.
With the 7th pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Lauri Markkanen.
Yes, the Minnesota Timberwolves selected Markkanen and then traded him to the Bulls in the Jimmy Butler deal. No, Markkanen can't defend anyone. Like, the Denver Nuggets think Markkanen is a horrible defender. But he does have the highest three-point percentage of any seven-footer in NCAA history. Hey, it's pretty tough to defend a seven-footer shooting threes. It's not like you're going to get up and contest that shot. Lauri Markkanen is actually drawing some comparisons to Dirk Nowitzki. And I realize that might be a little bit of a stretch. But here's the problem that I have with Markkanen. It's not his fault. But wouldn't you think the NBA commissioner Adam Silver could at least learn his name?
Lauri Markkanen.
He said Larry, didn't he? Let me hear that again.
Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, I think that's Larry. I would rather hear Lowry or Lori, but Larry? It's not Larry.
Lowry.
You have one job here, Adam Silver. Read the names and try not to be too awkward with that horrible, lame handshake hug thing that you have going that makes every one of us cringe as these kids walk across the stage. So well done, Adam Silver.
Lowry.
I don't know why I expect him to know anyone's name. He doesn't even notice teams that are tanking. He's not paying attention. That's obvious. I guess I really should make the loser Adam Silver for not knowing his name, but Lauri Markkanen.
Lowry.
He gets to be a loser today on the Daily Dose. I'm going to give a winner to the Charlotte Hornets. I know, and really, that should impress everyone, because the Charlotte Hornets rarely win at anything. But you just know that Charlotte wanted the big, white, stiff Zach Collins out of Gonzaga. Think about the players that Charlotte has drafted in the past, okay? Frank Kaminsky, Cody Zeller, Adam Morrison, George Zidek. I don't want to say that Michael Jordan has a type, but it seems like he kind of has an affinity for big white boys. So when the Kings took Collins at number 10, then the Hornets had to settle for Kentucky guard Malik Monk instead. Now, Malik Monk is an explosive scorer. The Hornets could use an explosive scorer. They just needed that little boost to take him. Good job, Charlotte. Sometimes you got to get out of that comfort zone. Charlotte did that. And that's why they're a winner. They didn't go with the big white stiff. Good job. Loser, you know, after a few years of not being horrible by drafting players like Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic and Gary Harris, the Denver Nuggets return to typical form by selecting the really athletic Donovan Mitchell out of Louisville. Oh, but then trading him to Utah for Trey Lyles and a pick that turned out to be Syracuse stretch four Tyler Lydon. Let me see if I have this straight. The Denver Nuggets got a couple more scorers that can't play defense. Isn't that the exact problem of this current team? They can score with anybody. They can't stop anyone. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the Nuggets war room. Fellas, we've got a good young team. We can score, but we can't defend anyone. Anybody have any ideas of what we should do in this draft?
I've got an idea.
Yes, what do you have? Well, what if we draft some more scorers and maybe trade for another scorer, maybe some solid shooters, but, you know, somebody that can't really defend at all? By God, that's genius. That just might work. Yes, let's just go get more scorers that can't defend. They have like a million of these same players. It's not going to work. On the plus side, though, I'll give the Nuggets a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on this one. It might mean that Danilo Gallinari can leave. So, okay. Loser, but you might win if you can get rid of Gallinari because he probably just got hurt as I just said that last statement. Winner, the Dallas Mavericks. Yes, the Dallas Mavericks, who we all know tanked this last year. The Dallas Mavericks got the most explosive athlete probably in their franchise history. They got North Carolina State point guard Dennis Smith Jr. Smith is a 6'3" jet with, they say, around a 48-inch vertical jump. I don't have any idea if he's going to fit in Dallas. And grumpy old Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle is going to have some work to do because Smith is inconsistent. Sometimes he's a little bit undisciplined. He turns it over too much, but he is a very talented player. And he could give the Mavericks a different look. This guy gets a ton of dunks for a 6'3 guy. So if nothing else, he'll be exciting to watch. Think about for a second. Can you think of any explosive athletes that have ever played in a Dallas Mavericks uniform? Ever. I'll wait. Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, loser. I gotta give a loser to all the draft experts out there. Because is there ever a bad pick? Is there ever a pick that just makes the experts say, wow, I'm going to be honest, I'm looking at this draft pick that they just took, and this kid has no business getting drafted. What a horrible pick. He doesn't fit their scheme. He doesn't fit their system. He's kind of an idiot. Because all we ever hear is, what a great pick. You know, they were really hoping that that player fell to them, and they got exactly what they were wishing for here. So everybody in the entire draft got exactly who they wanted. Because we just all saw the guys in the war room, like, throwing furniture, punching holes in the wall, and you're telling me that they're happy with what they got? I mean, you know, who are we going to believe? The draft experts or our own lying eyes? And I didn't think the draft experts had a great night, and I realize it's a difficult job, but it's also not hard to call things what they are. Hey, this is a pick that honestly doesn't make a lot of sense. This is a kid that I don't understand why you'd take him here. That's for sure. I realize that they're in bed with the NBA and they want to keep everyone happy, but there were a few picks that were confusing. The announcers just rolled right through it like it was the greatest pick ever. Okay, I'm going to give another winner. I'm going to give a winner to white guys. Okay, I'm not saying that there aren't some talented white players out there. Think about this for just a second, though. You're telling me that out of the top 12 prospective players selected to play basketball at the highest professional level, 3 out of those 12 are white guys? I'm not sure I'm buying that. Let's see. Lauri Markkanen, Zach Collins, and Luke Kennard are among the best 12 prospects on the planet. That's 25%. I'm not sure I'm buying that. But no, white guys, you win. Nice job. A little bit odd to me, but whatever. Loser. I got to give a loser to the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks selected French point guard Frank Ntilikina over Dennis Smith that we just talked about. I'm not saying Ntilikina can't play. I'm saying I don't have any idea if he can play, and neither does anyone else, and neither do the Knicks. He played in the EuroLeague. He scored like 1 point per game. He was named the league's best young player. I have no idea what to take from that. That isn't the world's most competitive league. I think he can probably play a little, just from the highlights I saw of him playing in like a rec center somewhere. But he's definitely a project. And the problem with the Knicks taking a project is that aside from Kristaps Porzingis, name a project that the New York Knicks have taken that hasn't been a miserable failure. Let's see. Derrick Rose. Better, I guess, maybe than people thought, but he wasn't great. Joakim Noah. Horrible. Derek Fisher. Worse. Kurt Rambis. Ugh. So see, the odds are not exactly in favor of the Knicks. Gotta give the Knicks a loser. Just got a couple more left. I've got to give a winner, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I have got to give a winner to the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings kind of won the draft. I know, I can't believe I'm saying that, but think about this. First, they got the fastest guard in the entire draft with Kentucky's De'Aaron Fox. They got him with the 5th pick. Then they made a trade to get North Carolina small forward Justin Jackson at number 15. That might not be the sexiest pick, but Jackson should be a serviceable player. Then they grabbed Harry Giles at 20 out of Duke, who probably would have been a top 10 pick if not for a knee injury. He should be able to rehab, should come back just fine. And then in the second round, they pulled undersized but very tough Kansas point guard Frank Mason. Think about that. De'Aaron Fox, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, and Frank Mason. And I realize that Mason may not have NBA sizing, but don't sleep on him. He's been overcoming odds his entire career. The Sacramento Kings had the best draft haul of the 2017 NBA draft. Okay, so who had the worst night of the 2017 NBA draft? Our biggest loser. Gotta be, let's see, De'Aaron Fox, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, and Frank Mason, because they have to go to Sacramento and never be heard from again. And sure, they might have a couple of highlights, but I don't think that anyone actually believes the Sacramento Kings are going to build themselves into some sort of contender, do they? This is a cursed franchise. Think about the Sacramento Kings. Think about the history of this team. The one time that they actually caught lightning in a bottle back in 2002, they actually had the NBA conspire against them and fix a playoff game so they could not win. So I'm sorry to Fox and Jackson and Giles and Mason. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to those four players that are very, very talented, because I'm telling you, the deck is stacked against you and you will not overcome. Hey, coming back, we will be handing out some Daily Dose NBA awards. Plus, we have our Daily Dose Top 5.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
Table Reads, now part of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Trevor, and I'm here with Sean.
Hi.
And we're from Table Reads. Do you know what Table Reads is?
No.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is.
Even Sean doesn't know what it is, and he created it. Well, Sean, if you had to guess, which clearly you do, what do you think Table Reads is?
I would think it's a show about a fat guy and a skinny guy reading some bad scripts that never got to be made into movies.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
You know, the thing I love about you, Sean, ever since we were kids, is you're always good at guessing. You nailed it.
Yay!
Yay!
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, or visit tablereadspodcast.com.
Before we get to our 2017 Daily Dose NBA Awards, got to touch on a few stories real quick. Not sure if you saw it on Sunday. Jordan Spieth actually needed an extra hole to finish up a victory in the Travelers Championship in the PGA. Had like a 60-foot shot for birdie from a greenside bunker on the first hole of a playoff with Daniel Berger at TPC River Highlands. And Spieth holed out from right there. If you didn't see it, Spieth hits it, goes in, throws the club, runs over and kind of jumps and does the whole back bump thing with his caddy. I've already heard a few of the traditionalists in golf. Well, I don't know if he should be throwing his club like that. I'm not sure golf needs those types of celebrations. I have good news for you. With Tiger Woods out, I don't care if Jordan Spieth throws his club at Daniel Berger. And I realize Berger still had his shot to go. It wasn't over. But I honestly don't care. If Jordan Spieth puts any sort of excitement into the PGA Tour right now, just take it. Because right now, there's some good young golfers, but it's not like people are saying, hey, I've got to stop whatever I'm doing on Sunday afternoons and make sure that I watch the final round. There's not that much excitement. If Spieth wants to celebrate, let him celebrate. And I don't care how he does it. Anything he can do to get a few more people watching golf. You know, like we told you a few weeks ago, the pending doom of the Oakland Raiders not getting quarterback Derek Carr signed to a long-term deal was a lot of hand-wringing over basically nothing. The Raiders gave Carr a five-year, $125 million deal that makes him the highest-paid player in the league, at least for now, because there are contracts coming due. There are a few guys out there that I think will pass Carr. Matt Stafford's out there. I believe Matt Ryan is out there. At some point, you'd think Tom Brady would probably take some pay, but hey, we knew this was coming. Derek Carr has been outstanding so far for the Oakland Raiders. He has thrown 81 touchdowns to just 31 interceptions in his first three seasons. And while they've only gone 22 and 25 with him as a starter, don't forget where that franchise was at when Derek Carr got there. It was a complete and utter disaster. Here's what is going to be interesting, though. And this is the thing that I want to keep an eye on with the Oakland Raiders. because of the rebuild job that the Raiders have had to do, they are going to be having to sign some more players very soon. Players like Khalil Mack, players like Donald Penn, Amari Cooper. Those contracts are coming. And I have to think, and I'm not saying that Derek Carr hasn't done any of this, but I do have to think that that beefy offensive line has had something to do with the fact that Carr has been so successful. That is a lot of money. And most of that $125 million deal is guaranteed. I think like $70 million of it is guaranteed money. It's a lot of money to give one player, any player. Don't get yourself into like a Joe Flacco situation where you can't sign anyone else. Come on, Raiders. You're just starting to get interesting. Now, be sure you keep putting a quality product out on that field for those, you know, 10 or 15,000 people that are going to come see you this year. Just don't want you to get yourself in a situation where you're paying all of the money to one guy and you don't have enough players. We've seen what Baltimore has done with that. Hasn't gone well. Be careful. Getting ready to go to Vegas. Getting ready to leave. You might want to have a few other players on the roster. Staying in the AFC West. A little bit of surprising news that came out of Kansas City last week. I'm not sure if you saw this, but the Chiefs fired their general manager, John Dorsey, on Thursday after four seasons in Kansas City. Now that is some really weird timing. It was done after the draft, after free agency, and after, you know, a draft and free agency that for the Chiefs have been pretty interesting. They used their top pick on a new quarterback despite having a veteran with a winning record on the roster. And they also had that kind of weird Bush League release of wide receiver Jeremy Maclin that was just kind of confusing all around the way that they handled it. Kansas City had just let top assistant Chris Ballard leave for another job. So don't try to tell me this was planned. I don't know what's going on in Kansas City. The Chiefs have had a number of odd salary cap moves under Dorsey, but remember what the Chiefs were before John Dorsey. They were kind of a mess. He's kind of gotten some things cleaned up there. Yes, they've had a few draft picks that haven't turned out as good as they'd like them to, but why fire him now? John Dorsey was due for a new contract. So maybe he just asked for too much money. But that's kind of surprising that if he asked for too much money, you just fire him. Maybe him and Andy Reid were butting heads. Doesn't sound like that's the case. Or maybe they were baffled by his offseason moves and decided that John Dorsey shouldn't be doing the job anymore. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, the Kansas City Chiefs should be the favorites for the AFC West this season, right? They won it last year. I'm not sure I would put them in there right now, though. There seems to be some sort of weird internal strife in that organization. And I don't know if it goes back to drafting Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what it is. But if the Kansas City Chiefs get off to a slow start, they open with the New England Patriots. So things might go south early. They get off to that slow start. And Alex Smith doesn't play well. We could see some things go really, really sideways for the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, let's move on to the Daily Dose NBA Awards. Was the 2017 NBA season a good season? I don't know. Probably not. The favorites went largely untested all year and through the entire playoffs. We saw lots of teams tanking. We saw players sitting out because they didn't feel like playing. In big TV deal matchups, they sat out and still didn't play. We saw some really, really gaudy offensive stats. Guys were breaking records that hadn't been touched in like 50-some years. But honestly, there wasn't much drama, was there? The Warriors were great, and the Warriors got better when they signed Kevin Durant. The Cavaliers were good, and the rest of the East was awful. The most drama that we had in the 2017 NBA season was probably, can the Cavs avoid being swept in the NBA Finals? Now, having said that, people watched it. People watched the NBA. People watched the NBA Finals. You know, we had a Daily Dose Top 5 prior to the NBA Finals, and we counted down the top 5 most viewed finals in league history. And it was pretty much like a Michael Jordan's greatest hits, right? And then we got a Larry versus Magic series thrown in there. The 2017 Cleveland Cavaliers versus Golden State Warriors NBA playoffs jumped up into that list. They had nearly 19 million viewers on average for that 5-game series. That's the highest rated finals since the 1998 Chicago Bulls over the Utah Jazz series, which is number one all time. This series moved up to number two. So say what you will about super teams being bad for the league. People tuned in. So people are either cheering for them or against them. Either way, I don't think the NBA cares. Dynasties are many times a good thing for the league. What were the last dynasties that we've seen in the NBA? Well, we saw the Bulls. They had the dynasty with Jordan, and people watched. We have the Lakers and the dynasties they had with Kareem and Magic. People watched. We saw the Celtics and the dynasty they had with Larry Bird. People watched. So we can complain about how the lack of competition in the NBA is hurting it. The Warriors and the Cavs are just better than everyone else. It's probably going to be the Warriors and Cavs again next year. And I understand that you want people to watch your regular season product too. But people watching those NBA finals, people watch the NBA postseason. Watched it in record numbers, in fact. So I don't know if the NBA really cares about the whole competition thing as much as they might say that they do. Okay, we've got to hand out a few Daily Dose NBA season awards. First up, let's hand out our Rookie of the Year. A few different players out there that we could hand our Rookie of the Year to. You know, last NBA draft back in 2016, we were talking about the Ben Simmons. We were talking about the Brandon Ingrams and the Dragan Benders. But you know what the best rookie probably was? Was a kid taken in the second round. Malcolm Brogdon was the guy that actually produced this year. And he wasn't taken till the second round with the 36th pick. He was taken out of Virginia. But Malcolm Brogdon averaged 10 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds per game. He played consistently all year. And Milwaukee, bizarrely, looks like one of the young upcoming teams in the NBA. No one saw Malcolm Brogdon coming. But right now, he looks like the best player out of that draft for now. For now. That can change. There's a few players we still haven't seen. We certainly haven't seen reach their full potential. But our Rookie of the Year, we're going to give it to Malcolm Brogdon. Had a very, very nice opening season. Our Coach of the Year. A few different coaches we could give that to. Could give it to Steve Kerr. Obviously the job he did. Greg Popovich down at San Antonio. Give it to Tyronn Lue or LeBron James or whoever coaches that team. A few different people we could hand this to. But here's who I'm going to give it to. Because I know they finished with a fizzle. I understand. But what a huge change that Houston Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni made. And the only thing with that entire team that really changed was the head coach. Because Houston went 41-41 last year in 2016. They changed the coach. Most of the roster basically stayed intact. And they went 55-27 in 2017. Show me a coach that's worth like 14 wins in the Western Conference. He must have done something right. Maybe it was just moving James Harden to point guard. I don't know what it was. But Mike D'Antoni did something right. And we'll just kind of forget what happened in the playoffs. Way to go, Mike D'Antoni. He wins our Daily Dose Coach of the Year. Who wins our Most Improved Player of the Year? Gotta be Milwaukee Bucks freak of nature, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's 6'11", and he plays like a guard. In his first season, back in 2014, the Greek freak averaged 6 points and 4 rebounds. This past season, with the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that, let's be honest, hasn't done anything in forever, he averaged 23 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists, and he actually led Milwaukee to the postseason. I'm telling you right now, if Giannis continues improving, and the one big thing that he's got to learn, at least be a threat from the three-point line. Because right now, he shoots about 27% from three-point range. That's not good enough. But the improvement that we've seen steadily over the past 2 or 3 years, it's kind of scary what he's doing. And if he figures out any semblance of a halfway consistent three-point shot, it's going to be unfair. Because he is just an absolute monster. Sixth man of the year. Few different sixth man of the year prospects that are out there. Eric Gordon had a phenomenal season. Lou Williams. When Lou Williams went to Houston, be honest, none of us expected anything. Like, he's going to go down there. We're going to forget all about him. He had a very, very good season with the Houston Rockets. He could definitely be on this list. But I'm going to give our sixth man of the year to a guy that you kind of forget that he's not a starter because he's always in the game at the finish. But Andre Iguodala showed how valuable he was in the NBA Finals. He's 33 years old. He's not as explosive as he once was. But he's still a really, really good defender. And it seems like he just comes up with clutch plays when Golden State needed him. Yes, he only averaged 7 points a game this season. That's not a ton. It's not like he's coming out and giving you instant offense. He comes out and he gives you instant defense usually, though. Going into the Finals, and I think we even talked about it, we didn't know what we would get from Andre Iguodala. because we didn't know how that knee was. That knee had been bothering him. He had missed some time in the playoffs. In the NBA Finals, he came up with big play after big play. He averaged 9 points, 3 assists, and 3 rebounds a game. And he was a really, really good defender for Golden State. His 20 points in game one, I honestly think, just put serious doubt in the Cavaliers. And I think the Cavaliers had some serious doubt anyway. Like LeBron James in Cleveland kind of approached it like, well, we're just going to give it a shot. I don't know. And I know maybe that's just what they said. There are times I thought they gave Golden State maybe a little too much respect. But when Andre Iguodala goes out and drops 20 on them in game one, it felt like Cleveland was looking around going, okay, we know we can't stop Steph, Durant, Draymond, and Klay, and now we've got to worry about Iguodala too. Yeah, series over. And it seemed like when they needed a big bucket or they needed a big stop, Andre Iguodala definitely put his stamp on that series. Sixth man, a guy that doesn't seem to care about if he starts, when he starts, comes off the bench and he gives quality minutes. That is what you want from a sixth man. That's why we're going to give it to Andre Iguodala. Offensive player of the year. You know, when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma, we knew that Russell Westbrook was going to go off, didn't we? Like, we didn't think it would be this, though. Russell Westbrook averaged 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists per game. First guy to average a triple-double since Oscar Robertson did it back in the 60s. And the Thunder didn't fall apart the way that they could have with Kevin Durant leaving. They could have made excuses. They could have completely fallen apart. I realize that there are some guys out there that put up some big numbers as well. James Harden is right there. But for me, Offensive Player of the Year, I'm going to give it to Russell Westbrook. He did it all. The Thunder still went 47-35 before they lost to the Rockets in the playoffs. Westbrook just plays so hard. He's so fun to watch. He plays the game every single possession at 100 miles an hour. Russell Westbrook wins our Offensive Player of the Year. Who wins our Defensive Player of the Year? Rudy Gobert for Utah could be in there. Kawhi Leonard is always one of the best players defensively. I've told you this before, though. I'm giving my Defensive Player of the Year to Draymond Green because he is the backbone of that Warriors defense. If someone gets beaten, they see that Draymond is always in the correct position to contest the shot or to get the rebound. And you look at how good of a perimeter defender that someone like Klay Thompson is and someone like Andre Iguodala is, and some of it is because they know Draymond Green has their back. If they do get beat, I can come out and I can pressure the perimeter because I know I've got someone back there that if I get beat, he'll cover up some of my mistakes. And yes, Draymond Green can be kind of a drama queen. There are times he overreacts a little bit, like a 13-year-old, but he is a monster defender. He definitely makes his teammates better defenders. That is our Defensive Player of the Year. Okay, so who wins the Daily Dose NBA MVP? Now, this may seem like blasphemy to some of you, especially with the season that Russell Westbrook and James Harden had. But I'm telling you right now, nobody does it at both ends like Kawhi Leonard. And if you want further proof, look at what the San Antonio Spurs did when he went out with that ankle injury and they just collapsed without him. I'm going to say something a little bit crazy, though. And when I say it, you might hear it and you might just go, what? Seriously? You might be out of your mind. Hear me out. I believe that style of play-wise, Kawhi Leonard might be the closest thing that we've seen to Michael Jordan in recent years. What? No, I said it. He is so good at scoring in tight, cramped spaces, bodies around him, right around the basket, leaning, falling. He's able to do that. He can shoot it. He can beat you off the dribble. He's a solid passer, very good rebounder. Oh, and he's also one of the best defenders in the league. The thing about Kawhi Leonard, he's so quiet, we don't get the sound bites. He's not going to give the shrug when he hits the three. He's not going to do commercials for McDonald's. He's not going to trash talk the other team. That's not really his style. But his game is a lot more Jordan-esque than you might think it is. Kawhi Leonard is the Daily Dose NBA 2017 Most Valuable Player. Okay, now let's get to a few of the Daily Dose 2017 NBA Awards. Our first award is going to be the Didn't You Used to Be Award. And we've had a few different people win this award. People that you might remember them and think, man, that was a really good player. And then you see them again, you're like, what happened to you? Didn't you used to be that guy? And our Didn't You Used to Be award this year is going to go to Cleveland Cavaliers guard Deron Williams. Now, I knew Deron Williams was not the player that he used to be. But did any of us really think it was that bad? I mean, the Cavs picked up Williams after he had bounced around a little bit. I think he was most recently with Dallas. Remember, Deron Williams used to average 21 points a game at one time in his career. And all the Cavs were hoping was that maybe he could give Kyrie a break, play a few minutes at the point, maybe knock down a few shots if you're open. In the NBA Finals, Deron Williams managed to make two more shots than I made in the NBA Finals. He went 2 for 16, and most of the shots were wide open looks where Golden State basically had rotated, and Golden State basically said, hey, if you can knock it down, knock it down.
You're a daisy if you do.
And Deron Williams couldn't do it. And I've got to think there's going to be people walking up to him and going, didn't you used to be Deron Williams? Yeah, that's why he wins the award. Our next award is the Kobe Bryant Award. Now, the Kobe Bryant Award, if you're not familiar, is given to the player that takes the most shots with the least amount of assists. There's a few players out there that are up for this award. These are just guys that put up shots without ever even thinking, maybe, just maybe, someone else is out there. And our winner this year is going to New York Knicks forward Carmelo Anthony, and I think maybe he's won it a few times before. Because Carmelo jacked up nearly 1,400 shots this year, and he handed out just 200 assists. Carmelo is just, he's a black hole on offense. The ball goes to him, and it disappears into that orbit around him. It's not coming back. He's just a vacuum over there, and there is no way you're getting the ball back once it goes to him. He has no thought of passing it. Kobe Bryant Award goes to Carmelo Anthony. Who is the least valuable player in the league? And for the Daily Dose, what we figure is who made the most money but had the least amount of wins. And it's going to be kind of unfair because when you look this up, the player that made the most money had the least amount of wins. Now, this could go to Carmelo Anthony too. But actually, Dallas Mavericks big man Dirk Nowitzki is making a little bit money than Carmelo, and the Mavericks weren't much better than the New York Knicks. The Mavericks went 33-49. Dirk made $25 million. In fact, of the top 10 highest paid players this year in the NBA, there were just two guys that didn't make the playoffs. Dirk and Carmelo. So I'm sorry, Dirk. I know you're a great player, but that is a ton of money to soak up and still finish behind the Pelicans and the Denver Nuggets. Sorry, least valuable player. I kind of feel bad doing it. Dirk Nowitzki. Sorry, Dirk. Great player. It wasn't a great season for you, though, was it? Anytime you're in a conversation with Carmelo Anthony, it's not a good sign. Okay, who wins our teammate of the year? Now, notice I didn't say best teammate. I just said teammate of the year. And there is nothing like taking your team to the brink in the NBA playoffs and then completely quitting on them. But that is exactly what James Harden did in the second round of the NBA playoffs. The Rockets were down 3-2 to the Spurs, but playing a game at home in game 6, and the Spurs didn't have Kawhi Leonard. Harden went 2 for 11, 6 turnovers, 6 fouls, and the Rockets got beat 114-75. I'm convinced James Harden hates his teammates and wants them all to die in a fire. I'm not sure why. I don't know if he just doesn't like them, if they said something in the media about him shooting too much. I don't know what it is. I just know James Harden is our Daily Dose teammate of the year. Okay, who is our executive of the year? And I'm telling you right now, LeBron James could easily win this award. He brought in Deron Williams. He brought in Kyle Korver, Channing Frye. And he got the Cavs to pay guys like Tristan Thompson, Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith way too much money. Not only did he do all that, not only did he bring in those players, but then he gets to act like he would have won the finals, except he was strapped with this awful team that couldn't pull their own weight. Now, that's quite a deal. You build the team, and then you blame management for building the team when you lose. Pretty impressive. He could be our executive of the year. If that's not an executive move right there, I don't know what is. But I'm not going to give it to LeBron James. I'm not. I'm going to give it to Phil Jackson, who has completely destroyed the New York Knicks. And if I didn't know better, maybe I don't know better. If I didn't know better, I would swear he's trying to get himself fired, because not only does Phil Jackson botch free agent signings, like bringing in Joakim Noah, despite the fact that everyone knew Noah could barely walk, and not only does Phil Jackson have Carmelo and Kristaps Porzingis completely hating his guts, it doesn't even seem like Phil's even trying. That's the biggest problem. He doesn't really travel that much. He doesn't go to scout players. There were multiple reports, not one report, there were multiple reports that Phil Jackson was falling asleep during rookie workouts this year prior to the NBA draft. Well done, Zen Master. You have officially fried your brain with peyote or something. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Phil Jackson wins our Executive of the Year. What about our Sportsmanship Award? Let me think about that. Sportsmanship. Who had the most assists this year? Russell Westbrook? Like 11 assists a game? Yeah, Russell Westbrook. I don't know if Russell Westbrook is a sportsmanship kind of guy. He doesn't strike me as that. No, I think I'm going to give this to Cleveland Cavaliers sniper Kyle Korver. Because Kyle Korver was brought to Cleveland to do one thing. Knock down threes when the defense collapses into the paint. In the NBA Finals, Kyle Korver went 5-for-16 on three-point attempts. Very, very sportsmanship of Kyle Korver just to be like, hey, you could hurt Golden State quite a bit right here. Nah, I don't want to do that. That might be mean. That seems too mean to me. Kyle Korver wins the Daily Dose Sportsmanship Award. He's a nice guy. Don't get mad at him. He's a sweetheart. Our ball handler of the year. I don't care for the name of that.
Phrasing?
Our ball handler of the year. Kyrie Irving dribbles more than any human being I've ever seen in my entire life. Here's how much Kyrie Irving dribbles. I have this patch of grass in my yard. It's actually on one side of the fence, and I want to get rid of it. And I'm pretty sure that if I just put Kyrie Irving with a basketball out there, he could kill that grass. I think I'm going to change this. I don't want this the ball handler award.
Hey, phrase it!
Let's give this the kills the grass award. Hey, Kyrie Irving is a phenomenal ball handler, but he dribbles way too much. Way too much. He could kill some serious grass as much as he pounds that ball on the ground. He's going to win our Kill the Grass Award. We've renamed it. There, you happy? We renamed it. How about the Old Switcheroo Award? Who's going to win the Old Switcheroo on the Daily Dose? I suppose that I could give San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich, who tried to spin that Warriors big man Zaza Pachulia should be tried for manslaughter, whatever he was babbling about. Pop conveniently forgot that he used to send Bruce Bowen out to wreck guys' ankles like every single game. In fact, the NBA officially gave Bruce Bowen a warning to stop running under shooters. Pop seemed to be okay with that. But I think that switcheroo award has got to go to LeBron James. Because following the Game 5 NBA Finals, when the finals were finished and the Warriors had won, LeBron James talked about how the Warriors were a super team and he never really played on a super team. So once again, he kind of switched the tables. He conveniently forgot that he went to Miami to join All-Stars Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Once again, LeBron James plays the old switcheroo on everyone. LeBron James wins the old switcheroo award. Our final award of the 2017 Daily Dose NBA Awards. We're going to give out the Can't Stop Smiling Award. A few different guys that could win that. Guys that just have a smile on their face. This has to go to Golden State Warriors assistant coach Mike Brown. He beat his former team. Remember, his former team that fired him and acted like he had no idea what he was doing. He joined Golden State and he beat Cleveland. That had to feel pretty good. But I actually think we have one better than that. Because did you see what happened to Derek Fisher a couple weeks ago? Now, if you don't know this, Derek Fisher is a former Los Angeles Lakers player and New York Knicks coach that decided of all the women on the planet he would go after, he chose to go after ex-teammate Matt Barnes' former wife. In fact, back in 2015, Matt Barnes found out that Fisher was at his former house with his kids and his former wife and drove like 100 miles to punch Derek Fisher in the face. Well, just a few weeks ago, a car registered to Matt Barnes was flipped on a California highway. The passengers in the car were Derek Fisher and Barnes' ex-wife. Fisher was arrested for drunk driving. So let me get this straight. You drive the car that I bought with my ex-wife, and then you flip the car because you're driving drunk and no one was seriously injured. No other cars were involved. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that Matt Barnes had to be giggling like a little girl on the recess swing set. He definitely wins our Daily Dose Can't Stop Smiling Award. Hey, our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up next, and it is NBA Draft flavored. Who are the best players selected with the top 5 picks in NBA Draft history? Just a quick reminder, be sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Do any shopping that you might need to do right there. Loot Crate delivers the best in merchandise and collectibles, featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. And you can go get a crate, a subscription of crates, or just individual items. The July crate is called Animation. It features items from Rick and Morty, Bob's Burgers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Futurama. They have any kind of merchandise that you can think of over at Loot Crate. And this is the licensed memorabilia, not some kind of knockoff junk. You can't always go back and order past crates. The best part about ordering, when you place your order, just put Daily Dose in the coupon box, DALYDOSE. We will get you 10% off of your order. So make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com. If you would like to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate it if you did, please let your friends, family, and coworkers know that they can subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts are hosted. Go to iTunes. Go over to blogtalkradio.com. You will find every single episode. Now, let's say you'd like to recommend the podcast, but you don't want to have a conversation. Just click the share button wherever you listen to it, and your friend or whoever will get a link to the show. You can send them a link via email or via text. Sometimes that's easier than actually talking to them. And if they're technically challenged, you'll make it a little bit easier for them to listen. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. Of course, the Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and they've got a number of other podcasts over there you're going to like, you're going to get addicted to. Go check out a few of the new shows that are up over at rogueintel.com. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. As I'm watching the 2017 NBA Draft, I'm starting to think about some of the greatest players selected with the top 5 selections. And I started to think, well, like, who's the greatest player that's ever been drafted at number 4 or at number 2. So today on the Daily Dose, we count down the greatest players selected with the top 5 selections. Number 5 was actually selected in 1985. Now, I will admit, number 5 is a little bit arguable because there have been some studs taken at number 5 of the NBA draft. I'm going to take in 1985, Philadelphia 76ers forward Charles Barkley out of Auburn. Hey, Barkley was an absolute freak. He was only like 6'4", but he led the NBA in rebounding. He was the league MVP in 1993, and he was an 11-time All-Star. He could rebound, dribble, shoot. I know that a lot of people these days just look at Barkley's TV persona, but Charles Barkley was no joke when he played. He averaged 22 points and 12 rebounds a game over a 16-year career. And I realize he never won a title, but Barkley could dominate a game, which is incredible for his size. Now, there are a bunch of other players taken at number 5 that should be in this conversation. I just can't put him ahead of Barkley. Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. We could put Scottie Pippen in there, Vince Carter, Dwayne Wade, Walt Frazier, Mitch Richmond. Lots of good number 5s to choose from. I'm going to take Charles Barkley because in his prime, he was absolutely ridiculous. Number 4. What is the best player ever taken at the number 4 spot? If you ever have a top 5 pick in the NBA draft, I'm telling you this right now. You don't want number 4. Sorry, Phoenix. Sorry, Josh Jackson. I know I said I like Josh Jackson. History says you're probably going to underachieve because there have been some very good players taken at 4. I'm not sure if number 4 has ever had a great player, which is why I am going to take, from 2005, the New Orleans Hornets selected guard Chris Paul out of Wake Forest. Good. I don't know if he's great. Probably not. And he's just one of many that are kind of similar. Dolph Schayes, Chris Bosh, Dikembe Mutombo, Glenn Rice, Antoine Jameson. Russell Westbrook was a number four. Maybe he ends up being the greatest number four. Lamar Odom, Mike Conley, Xavier McDaniel. You see what I mean? Lots of good picks, but not great picks at number four. So we'll go ahead and take Chris Paul for now. That may change here in a few years. I don't know. Right now, we'll take Chris Paul. Who is the greatest number three player taken of all time? Who else could it be? If there is ever an example of why you draft talent over need, this is it right here. Because in 1984, the Houston Rockets had the number one pick. So they took big man Hakeem Olajuwon out of the University of Houston. Completely understandable. Olajuwon was an amazing talent. But then, at number two, the Portland Trailblazers said, well, why would we take a shooting guard? I mean, we already have Clyde Drexler. So why would we take another shooting guard? So they took Kentucky big man Sam Bowie. Bowie actually wasn't horrible. He had a long career. But they passed over University of North Carolina guard Michael Jordan. And I know Jordan is arguably the greatest player of all time, but hey, Portland already had Clyde Drexler, right? How in the world could you possibly have played both Clyde and Michael at the same time? Here's how. You find a way. Because I'm going to go ahead and assume that a team with Clyde and Mike probably would have been pretty good. That's why you always just take the talent. I don't care about position. I will find a spot for a talented player, especially in basketball. Nope, we gotta have a big man. Gotta make sure we have a big man. Yeah, so you bypass the greatest player who ever played? Not sure I do that. That's why you always take talent over need, especially in hoops. The greatest player ever selected at the number three spot, Chicago Bulls took Michael Jordan. Number two is a little bit interesting because the Rochester Royals actually owned the top pick back in 1956. They used it to take somebody named Sahugo Green out of Duquesne. Okay. The St. Louis Hawks had the second pick of the draft, but they wanted Boston Celtics center Ed McCauley, who was from St. Louis. So they were like, well, we'll bring him home and he can play in front of the hometown team. The always savvy Red Auerbach had his eyes on a big kid out of the University of San Francisco named Bill Russell. So Red Auerbach sent McCauley and a guy named Cliff Hagan to St. Louis for the pick. And at number two, the Boston Celtics were able to get center Bill Russell out of San Francisco. And all Russell did was win 11 championships, 5 MVPs, and get elected to the All-Star game 12 times. Yeah, Bill Russell comes in at the best pick at number two in the NBA draft. So who is the all-time best? The number one pick, the very top pick, who is the best player to be taken number one? Hey, there's been some good ones. This is tough competition. Think about some of the players that have been taken with the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal, David Robinson, Magic Johnson, Patrick Ewing, Bob Lanier, Allen Iverson was a number one pick, Elgin Baylor was a number one pick, of course LeBron James, Oscar Robertson, Hakeem Olajuwon we just talked about, but the number one guy of all time, played 20 years, is the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He averaged 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 2 blocks for that 20-year career. It's a tough choice. But in 1969, the Milwaukee Bucks used the top overall pick on a center named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he has got to be the number one draft pick at the number one spot of all time. Hey, next week, I've told you, we are officially into the dry time of the year. And I'm not going to subject you, or honestly myself, to talking baseball and golf for like a month. That seems completely silly to me. Next week, we will be hearing from you. If you've got a question, and it can be sports, it can be about me, it can be about the show, it can be literally about whatever you want. You need advice, whatever it might be. I've already received some good emails, a few things on Twitter that I'm going to use next week. But if you have a question, you've got a comment, anything that you would like to say, next week we will be reading some of the best emails that we have. Like I said, I've already received some very, very good ones, but I would love to hear from you. Whatever you have, send it our way, and next week we will be holding our annual Daily Dose email show. You can participate in the Daily Dose email show. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Have to say thank you to all of you for tuning in to the 2017 Daily Dose NBA Awards Show. I appreciate you all listening so much. Looking forward to hearing from you for the email show next week. Can't wait. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.